Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for lovely morning. Sun is out and the rain has stopped. We praise Thee for Thy goodness to us, granting us good health and strength, good rest, peace, Thy loving care. We pray, Lord, that Thou will cleanse us of all our iniquities and our sins, that we may be acceptable in Thy sight, and that Thou will be pleased, Lord, to bless us, direct us in our lives. This morning we come to study and apply Thy words in our life, to understand Thy will, that we may do that which is pleasing in Thy sight. Help us to understand how Thy work and Thy desire for Thy people. We pray for teachable hearts, and that the Holy Spirit be among us, being our teacher, and that we will be good students to apply Thy words in our life. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about Hushai overcomes Ahithophel's strategy. Some background. Absalom usurped the kingdom of Israel and David fled away. And Ahithophel, who was a close confidant and advisor to David, but turned traitor and he pledged loyalty to Absalom. Hushai was accepted as an advisor to Absalom, but was actually a spy of David. So we have these two great minds, wise men, who is going to pit their intelligence against each other. And we look at the narration in the scripture as we carry on with this lesson. So Absalom asked for counsel from Ahithophel as the next course of action. So this came about when Absalom was coming from the south, from Hebron, going into Jerusalem to capture and to kill David, and David fled away. So Absalom brought along all his loyal people, and of course Ahithophel, who has turned traitorous against the father, but now pledged loyalty to his son, Absalom. And then lo and behold came Hushai, who's the spy of David, into the court of Absalom. And after some examination by Absalom, he accepted Hushai as also having turned his loyalty towards himself and no more with David. So now, the course is now open for Absalom to decide on the next step to capture David. So he asked Ahithophel, what is the next course of action? And there was an exchange of advice between Ahithophel and Hushai. This is very interesting. Okay? So you look at this picture. This picture shows on the right is Absalom. He now has assumed kingship. Yeah? And next to him is Ahithophel, giving him confidential advice. And on the left is Hushai, who is also listening in. So you have these two intelligent, wise men advising Absalom the next step. Of course, you read the caption on the picture, "Turn, please, the advice of Ahithophel into foolishness, O Jehovah." That was what David hoped in his heart when he was fleeing away. Because he knows Ahithophel is a very cunning, shrewd, and good strategist. And he was fearful of Ahithophel, that by Ahithophel's advice, David would come to a bad ending. So he cried out to God, turned the advice of Ahithophel into foolishness. Yeah. That is found in 2 Samuel 15:31. So Ahithophel advised Absalom that Ahithophel would choose 12,000 men to pursue David immediately tonight. To pursue David immediately was a smart move. No time for David and men to rest. No time to establish the defense. Let me just read for you. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. No time to lose. We must go tonight. Not wait. Okay? And, of course, as I said, yeah? This is Ahithophel thinks that this is good because then you will catch up with David and they have no time to establish your defense and you just attack and capture and kill David. So, catch up with David and men when they were still weak and weary from fleeing, David's men would be afraid and flee. Ahithophel would kill David only. Naturally, you know, when the men are fleeing, moving quickly away, and if Ahithophel and the 12,000 men caught up with David and those fleeing, they will all be dispersed. Panic stricken. And then Ahithophel will kill David only. And once the leader is killed, the rest will be demoralized and surrender. No need to fight because David is dead. So that was Ahithophel's strategy. Minimum loss, minimum collateral damage. Just smite the leader dead and the rest will surrender peacefully and bring the rest back to Absalom. Very cunning, very clever. There's no need to have big fight between 12,000 men and thousands of David's followers. No need. Just go for the leader. Kill the leader and the battle is over. No need to fight. That was the strategy of Ahithophel. Yeah? Because he knows the minute he waits a few days, David and his men will establish a stronghold and it will be very difficult to kill David. So strike tonight. Waste no time. Kill David. Demoralize the people. They surrender. Bring them back. So Ahithophel would bring back all David's men to Absalom. Only David would be killed. The rest of the men would be unharmed and remain peaceful. So there you go. Very smart strategy of Ahithophel. So it's like his advice is like from God, you know, full of well thought, well considered, psychological and tactical, and would be successful. So, see, strategy, minimal loss of life. Only David would be killed. The killing of David would also subdue his men into surrendering. There would be no leader to lead them. The surrendered men would return to Absalom, and there would be no further opposition to Absalom. So Ahithophel was a smart strategist. However, he applied his intelligence for wickedness. Because he has turned loyalty. He said this to Absalom because he has one interest. David is killed. Absalom comes out successful. So his strategy is for that interest. That Absalom is successful. And that will promote himself because he has now pledged loyalty to Absalom. And now, Absalom turned to Hushai and asked, Hushai, what is your plan? So this is Hushai's advice. Ahithophel's advice was not good. Now, before we go into Hushai's advice, you must know where Hushai is coming from. He is a spy of David. He wants to defeat Ahithophel. He knows Ahithophel is good. His strategy is successful if carried out. So he must turn Absalom away from Ahithophel's strategy. Let Absalom accept his strategy, not Ahithophel's strategy. So he said this to Absalom. David and men were mighty warriors. They were enraged like a mother bear who had lost her cubs. They were probably hidden in a pit or cave. So what is he saying? He's planting fear into Absalom. David and men were mighty warriors. They are enraged like a mother bear who had lost her cubs. Very fierce, very angry, raged like a mother bear. And now hidden in some pit or cave, ready to pounce on your soldiers, Absalom, if they come. So, Hushai's strategy was fear, to strike fear in Absalom. When they come back, when they come out to attack, causing Absalom's men to fall, there will be panic among Absalom's men. Then people will be saying that Absalom's men have been slaughtered. So he said, hidden in some pit and cave, when your men come out, when your men, Absalom's men, come to pursue him, they would come out and slay all of your men. And when all the Absalom's men have been slaughtered, then the people will be saying, Absalom has lost, and the men have died. So the bravest of Absalom's men would be paralyzed with fear because of the mighty David and his courageous warriors. So, look at how Hushai supplants Ahithophel's strategy. He plants fear that if you go straight away now, you're going to be meeting brave warriors who are going to engage you and they're going to kill you. And you're going to lose. And the news will go out to all Israel that the mighty David, the courageous warriors, have overcome Absalom's fighters. So, planting fear of defeat in Ahithophel's advice. So next, Hushai didn't just stop there. Be fearful, yeah? He's going to play up Absalom's conceitedness and pride. You know, Absalom is a very proud person, yeah, and Hushai knows about that. So what he said next is that, Absalom, you should mobilize the entire Israeli army. Bring them as far as Dan and down to Beersheba. Dan is the north of Israel. Beersheba is the south of Israel. So in other words, go and find all the fighters from the very north of Israel in Dan. Conscript them into the army, all the way to Beersheba in the south. Get all the fighting men. And Absalom, you personally lead the troops. Wow, that sort of brings out a lot of pride in Absalom. Wow, I'm going to have a big army if I conscript all the fighting men from north to the south. And then I'm personally going to lead the troops and pursue and kill David. So, playing up to Absalom's pride, to personally lead a big army to destroy David and men. When David and men are found, they will be completely destroyed by Absalom and army. If David escaped to a city, the entire army will be at Absalom's command to destroy the city. So again, you know, this is going on and on how Absalom is going to be the successful and courageous leader of a big army to destroy David and his rebels. And so now these two men have given their counsel to Absalom. Absalom and his leaders preferred Hushai's advice to Ahithophel's. And we read it was the Lord's appointment to defeat Ahithophel's advice to bring punishment upon Ahithophel for his wickedness. Why did Absalom prefer Hushai's advice? He was convinced that Hushai's advice was a better advice than Ahithophel's. Why? Brought out his pride. I'm going to lead the big army to destroy David. And when that is done, my reputation will be spread across the whole Israel. So that rang a bell in his mind. Psychologically, it played up to Absalom. Whereas you recall, in Ahithophel's strategy, it was as Ahithophel who was going to bring 12,000 men to pursue this very night. Where is Absalom? Not in the pursuing army. It is just Ahithophel and 12,000 men. So that didn't quite work with Absalom. Yeah? So he preferred Hushai's advice. Yeah? It brought out his pride for power and self-importance. However, the decision for Absalom to accept Hushai's advice was of the Lord. It was the Lord's appointment to defeat Ahithophel's advice to punish him for his wickedness. Okay, this part is very interesting. Let me read to you from Scripture, 2 Samuel 17:14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." The Lord had appointed to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So, what it means is that God has decided that Ahithophel's counsel will be defeated, and Absalom would accept Hushai's counsel. And the purpose is to bring disaster on Absalom. God has decided that Ahithophel's advice will be defeated, Hushai's advice will be accepted by Absalom, the purpose of which is to bring disaster upon Absalom. So, we are looking at two layers, two tiers. On earth, you have Hushai, Ahithophel, pitting their intelligence against each other, and all that behind-the-scene agenda each of them have to want Absalom to accept their advice for their own benefit, for their own interest. Ahithophel wants David dead so that he will be promoted by Absalom. Hushai wants David alive because David is his good friend. So they pit their intelligence for Absalom to accept either one. And Absalom accepted Hushai, which is a lesser plan compared to Ahithophel. Lesser plan because if you look at it analytically, Ahithophel's plan of taking immediate action is the better plan. You don't wait for David to establish his defense and then go after David. That's late. When David is fleeing, you should pursue straight away. Catch up, kill the leader, get the rest back. That is the better plan. But Absalom took the lesser plan. And in Scripture, we are told, why did this happen? The Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. It was the Lord's appointment to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. It was the Lord that caused Absalom to accept Hushai's plan. So what is the lesson for us? Very important spiritual lesson. On earth, we may have a lot of plans, we may have a lot of advice, planning, organizing. But in the heavenly realm, God decides whether your plan will go through or not. So let me read to you another part of Scripture in Proverbs 16:9, which also sums up what is said here. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I read another version. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. In other words, on the earth, on the earthly plane that we now live in, we make a lot of plans. What we're going to do, how we're going to achieve our goals in life, so on and so forth. But it is the Lord who establishes our steps. Whether we will move that way is of the Lord. The Lord decides. Yeah? Now, of course, if the Lord doesn't establish our steps in the direction of the plans, our plans are no more. Yeah? Our plans don't work. If the Lord establishes our steps according to our plan, our plans work. So it is in this case, Hushai and Absalom. The Lord has already decided Hushai's plan will be accepted by Absalom. So no matter how good Ahithophel's plans are, Absalom will never accept it because the Lord has decided Hushai's plan will be accepted by Absalom. And that's what scripture bears out. It was the Lord's appointment to defeat Ahithophel's advice, to punish him for his wickedness. So if we want God to be on our side, if we look at the example of Ahithophel, we must steer away from sin, steer away from wickedness, walk closely with God, understand what God wants in our life, and then pray that our plans will be one that is blessed by God. Because of Ahithophel's wickedness and sin, the Lord was not with Ahithophel. Therefore, the Lord's appointment was to defeat Ahithophel. So I hope we understand this important lesson. First, there is the earthly plan that we have. In the heavenly realm, God has decided. And God's will be done. So due to the acceptance of Hushai's advice, he was able to send word to David and men to cross the Jordan River immediately to the safety of the wilderness beyond. See, the very next step. Hushai was now able to send word to David to quickly move on, cross Jordan River, to move to the wilderness beyond. So you look, Jerusalem is where David fled from, and he moved all the way northeast until he came to the Jordan River. I think they were sort of stopped there for a while. And then David received Hushai's informant's message that quickly cross over, get to the forest, because Absalom and men will come after you shortly. So they quickly move across River Jordan to Mahanaim, to the forest of Ephraim. So that gave David the time to flee further into the forest and hide themselves. So that is where God's appointment would be, to give David time to escape into the forest and to establish his stronghold in the forest. So can you imagine if Ahithophel's advice would be taken? Yeah? David would not have crossed River Jordan, and Ahithophel's men would have caught up at Jordan River, and there would be the killing of David at Jordan River. Too late to cross Jordan River. After some time in gathering a big army, Absalom and his army pursued David and pitched tents in Gilead. So you see, after David has established his stronghold in the forest of Ephraim, Absalom and his army caught up and they established their headquarters in Gilead to attack David and his men. David and men took refuge in Mahanaim. So the two forces were just next to each other. David in Mahanaim and Absalom in Gilead. When Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he went to his hometown and hanged himself. Why did he do that? 2 Samuel 16:23 tells us, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he had counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and Absalom." He was so used to being taken like the oracle of God. Whatever he says, it's like it came from the wisdom of God. So intelligent, so strategic, and everything would be successful if you take his advice. So people regarded him like his counsel were from God. And now, he lost out to Hushai in the advice. Absalom chose Hushai's advice and not his. He was completely stunned. Never had he come across such a disappointment in his life that his advice was not accepted. And so he couldn't accept this defeat and he hanged himself. So, pride of Ahithophel. Every word that Ahithophel spoke seemed as wise as though it came directly from the mouth of God. David and Absalom both followed Ahithophel's advice. Ahithophel was proud of his advice. When he saw that his advice was not followed, he could not take the setback and committed suicide. So this lesson is for us to be humble. We may be intelligent and smart, and we may have a very high IQ, able to unravel the complications and difficulties and solve complicated problems, and we can become very proud because people look to us for advice. And when our advice is taken, they overcome their problem, and we ourselves are so proud that because of my intelligence, people are able to succeed in their venture, in overcoming their problems. But God sees our heart and will punish us for our pride. You read in Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Before you are going to be destroyed, before you come to naught, it is because you are so proud. Then God makes sure that your plans go south. Everything goes wrong. You meet your destruction because of your pride. So we look at some of the situations in the world. We can identify with them. Yeah? The backlash of events due to overconfidence and pride. Iraq war. You recall UK and US invasion of Iraq some years ago on the basis that there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq under the reign of Saddam Hussein. And we were all told in the news, if you watch, the number one in US president spoke out why he wants to invade Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction. If we don't go in and capture and remove, eliminate the weapons of mass destruction, the whole world will be endangered, will be threatened. So they went in, Iraq. No weapons of mass destruction. The whole war was carried out on the wrong presumption that there was WMD. And then, of course, there was the big backlash against US, against UK. What happened to your intelligence? How come you are so sure that there was weapons of mass destruction and you wage a war, so many human lives at stake, so much risk, so much resources plowed into the war? There was no weapons of mass destruction in the first place. Leaders were overconfident and proud that they were so sure. And now there's a backlash that they went in to conquer a country without good reason. So this is about being overconfident and proud. That one whole war, and what happened after this is, look at the fate of the state of Iraq now. Quite sad. It may have been better if the old regime remained. At least some semblance of control and order. Now it's so chaotic. Brexit. How did Brexit come about? PM was at that time overly confident that the referendum in UK would return a result of being together in the EU. So at that time, the Prime Minister of UK said, okay, let's go for a referendum where the people will cast their vote, whether we are going to be with the European Union or we are going to be out of the European Union. And PM was so sure that during the voting exercise, the majority would return in favour of continuing with the European Union. Assured. No problem with that. So referendum was carried out, and then it went the other way. And then they had such a big problem with Brexit. Yeah, you recall, after the votes went the other way, the next PM came in. Big problem. So much problem in Parliament. Still can't decide whether to pass the law. It went on for months, and a couple of years later, and then the PM had to leave and resign, and the new PM came in, Boris Johnson, and then he managed to have a Brexit. And then even now with Brexit, a lot of issues. Overconfidence and pride led to all this confusion and problems in UK. So let us learn from all these events in the world. That even in our lives, let us not be overconfident and proud. So the spiritual lesson here is, do not be overconfident and proud. When we are in a position of authority, whether we are elder in the family or a senior, there is a tendency to be presumptuous that we are right and others are wrong when others differ from us. There is a tendency to write off the views of the junior and the young for being less experienced than us. Well, it may be true, yeah? But still then, it is always good to listen and not to be too sure of oneself. As God says, you know, pride comes before a destruction. So let us make sure that we don't write off anybody just because of our own pride. That you have eaten more rice than you have salt. Or we have eaten more salt than you have rice. So who are you to say I'm wrong? I have so much more experience than you in life. I know more than you, and I know my decision is right and yours wrong. And pride and overconfidence creeps in unaware. Yeah, I remember when I was much younger, siblings and I. Of course, I'm the eldest among us four, and I was always thinking, but I've got three sisters after me, and I'm better than them in my schoolwork. What do they know? How can they be good? So as the elder boy, one is naturally proud that you know more, you have studied more, you perform better in school. So you look down on your younger siblings, or I did at that time. When it came to the A-levels, I was taken aback, surprised. My younger sister got an A for physics, and I only got a B. How can that be? I taught her physics. So how can it be? The teacher, the student is better than the teacher. Pride. Yeah, pride. That taught me a lesson that one should not be so sure, so confident, so proud. God will, cause you to slip and fall. So it is important to listen humbly and seek wisdom from God. Listen humbly and seek wisdom from God. Do not rely on worldly and human wisdom alone. When worldly and human wisdom conflicts with God's word prevails. I want to show you this video. It's a brazen shoplifting video in San Francisco. And you see in the video that the people in San Francisco, they go into a shop, they ransack the shop, take everything they want in the bag, rush off through the door without payment. And the shopkeeper just look and let what they see happen. Why is this so? Because there is a new law in that state of California that any merchandise which is $950 or less is just a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor is a very low offense. So as a result, if you steal products $950 or below, the law enforcement won't bother to investigate, and prosecutors would just let it go. It's as though as no offense. So as a result, people just go into the shop, pick whatever they want, and walk out of the store because no investigation, no prosecution. What's the worry of stealing? So that brings out the point about God's word and human wisdom. Human wisdom says in the state of California not to take action when the theft is $950 and below, human wisdom. God's law says that if you steal, you must recompense. And stern action will be taken against you. Okay? Let us watch the video first, and you know what I mean.
All right, another brazen theft at a San Francisco drugstore caught on video. It comes after the governor and local officials pledged to crack down on crime that has forced so many stores to close down. Our crime reporter Henry Lee joins us now live. He's at SFPD headquarters with the latest. Henry.
Yeah, it's been happening over and over, Julie. Thieves thinking they can steal things with impunity, thinking they will never get caught. This is an issue that brought a candidate for governor to San Francisco today.
It's happened again. Four women run off after stealing from a CVS pharmacy at Van Ness and Jackson in San Francisco, this time just before 6 Monday night. It's the latest grab-and-go crime in San Francisco that's forced many drugstores in the city to close. The man who took this video tells me he feels sorry for the workers who have lost their jobs or have had their hours reduced because of what he called out-of-control shoplifting. Organized retail theft has become such a hot-button issue that it's now a point of focus in the upcoming gubernatorial recall election. Former San Diego Mayor Kevin Falconer spoke outside the shuttered Walgreens at Larkin and Bush in San Francisco, blasting the governor.
A governor who has supported the lessening of laws when it comes to stealing items under $950, lowering those consequences.
At a news conference last week, Newsom said he signed a new law that maintains task forces across the state that crack down on retail theft. San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott supports the legislation.
When they see these things go viral, the perception of lawlessness, the perception that anything goes, really, that has to be overcome too.
Now, three of the top cities for organized retail theft in the United States are in California. L.A. is number one, San Francisco's number five, and Sacramento is number 10. Reporting live at SFPD headquarters, Henry Lee, KTVU, Fox Studios.
All right, Henry, thank you.
So there you go. Man's ways. Man's ways. And what is God's word on this? Proverbs 6:30-31. Man do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. So usually the first line starts by saying, when a thief steals because he is hungry, man are usually sympathetic with the thief. He stole because he was hungry. But if he be found, he must restore seven times what he stole. So no such thing as below $950. Don't have to pay any penalties. Sevenfold, seven times. And he shall give all the substance of his house, meaning that if the sevenfold, if he doesn't have compensation, he must, if need be, sell his house to pay for the compensation. So the Bible has stronger and more effective punishment for those who steal. So this is God's law. Man, below $950, don't have to take action against them. Let it be. God, any amount you steal, you must recompense seven times, even if you have to sell your house. Stern law against theft. Between the two, God's law is effective. So we must seek God's will and do righteously. Do righteously is to do what God requires us in His Word. Even this word on restoration. We must look upon theft with seriousness. We cannot say, oh, just $950 is a small amount. Don't prosecute. Let it be. Then you see what happens. Everybody or many people will start stealing because there's no punity involved. There's no punishment involved. And now they have a big problem in their hands in the state of California. Yeah? So always look at what the Word of God says and we must follow accordingly. Right, so we come to the end of this lesson. I want you to contemplate and pray about it. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer your questions. If there are no questions, we will end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this morning's lesson. My word has taught us that thou art in absolute control of all situations. Our thoughts, our plans, our decisions, which way to go, what to do. Thou rules and overrules all our plans. And we pray for thy mercy upon us, for we know not what to do. We are proud of our intelligence, we are confident of our thinking. And Lord, we pray that thou will forgive us for our pride. That thou will not steer us into destruction. But we come before thee with our plans, in reverent, show fear of thee. For we know thou art in control of all that happens in the past, present, and also future. Every single event. Because thou art sovereign and all-powerful, almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. And thou hast all future events lined up. And according to thy word, all things exist. So we come before thee seeking mercy, for we are dust, and pray, Lord, that thou forgive us our sins, our pride, our lust, our selfishness, our fear of men, lust for the material things of this world. And we have gone on our own way without regard to thee. So forgive us, Lord, and we pray that thou be merciful and steer us in the right path, that thou will delight in our ways, and that we will do that which is pleasing to thee, seeking thee always, doing that which is in accordance with thy word. And thou will bless us and grant us good health and strength and success in what we do. Through thy praise and glory, knowing that it is thee, Lord, who has helped us and granted us success. We pray for our family, that thou will protect them. We pray for our loved ones, that thou will be with them. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.